following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome. Welcome, welcome to a Tuesday. Tuesday. It's another Tuesday without Gotta Laugh, but boy, do I have a great guest to fill her shoes today. If you've been listening to this program for any amount of time, you know a few things. One, you know that I am I am definitely a music fan. That's one thing. And number two, you know that I also love comedy. And, you know, I think laughter is the thing that can cure all ills. Laughter certainly helps in all circumstances. And unless, you know, you're at a funeral or something, then laughter maybe is not so good. But in times like these, when things are so ridiculous, and not necessarily ha-ha ridiculous, but insane ridiculous, laughter can often diffuse a very tense situation. I'm guilty of this myself. I need to remember when somebody is being unreasonable, you know, just a real asshole kind of person, the best response is not to be an asshole back to them, but to laugh, to just find the amusement in it all. Because, you know, when Donald Trump starts ranting about something, rather than taking him seriously, because who could take that seriously? You laugh and it'll change everything. So for instance, today or tomorrow, I guess, Rudy Giuliani is finally going under oath in Georgia before Fannie Wallis, I think that's her last name, W-A-L-L-I-S, to give her his deposition. And he was informed, I believe just yesterday, that poor Rudy happens to be a target in a criminal investigation for his role in trying to get the election officials in the state of Georgia to overturn the results, to tamper with the results of the election. Rudy doesn't like that. Poor Rudy. He's tried everything. He's tried to say, oh, I had an operation, I can't travel. And then the prosecutor's office did a little bit of research and found that he's been traveling, that he's been out and about. So if he's sick, oh, well, too bad, Rudy. If you can't fly, get on a train, get on a bus, get in a car, get your ass down to Georgia because you're going to testify. So, you know, what we do at times like this is we laugh. So I thought I would share with you by way of promoting today's guest, something that he did in response to Rudy's, I think, moment of brilliance. And of course, his moment of brilliance was that press conference at the Four Seasons, you know, Four Seasons Landscaping. Yeah, that one. So Roy Zimmerman will be joining us today. Now, Roy Zimmerman is a legitimate singer-songwriter in the vein of Tom Lehrer, Mark Russell, I guess I could even say Randy Rainbow, though Roy Zimmerman has been doing it a lot longer. So just to open the show today, I thought I'd share this one from Roy's massive YouTube library, and we will dedicate it to good old Rudy Giuliani. And it's a tune that you should be familiar with. And I'll have to ask Roy when he comes on if he might be related to the author of the original, that song that will be parodied here, a guy by the name of Dylan, but his birth name was Zimmerman. All right, here's Roy Zimmerman parodying Bob Dylan, a.k.a. Robert Zimmerman. Sorry. should have warned you that was coming.
Don said to Rudy, hey, throw me a presser. Rudy said, anything you say, Prez, yes, sir. Don said, now. Rudy said, sure. What should I tell him? And Don said, you're gonna go out there with a straight face and tell him I won. Chilling done. Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Don tweeted big event at the Four Seasons. Tweeted then deleted for mysterious reasons. Don said go. Rudy he went. Wondering if the president meant Four Seasons, the hotel, or the other one. Between the porno store and the crematorium, Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Hey, go out and tell them we got a path. Never mind fairness, never mind math. Election fraud, that's a thing we can fix if we just get the voting out of politics. Go get them, Rudy, while I hide from everyone. Yeah, Brad, consider it done. At Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Rudy, he looked at the places next door. A crematorium and a porno store. As metaphors go, that one's hard to ignore. But somehow he managed and he told the press corps, this race ain't over, people, it's just begun. Said they called, yay, Rudy, the race is run. Here at Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun. You're totally hosed, Rudy, pardon the pun. At Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun. Sounds like you're spreading manure. At Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
Four Seasons Total Landscaping Sun.
RoyZimmerman.com is where you can find his stuff. Roy Zimmerman with a wicked Bob Dylan stuck there on Highway 61. Although they were talking about 95 or something, whatever. Roy Zimmerman parodying Dylan to honor, as it were, Rudy Giuliani. Yeah, Rudy's got his day tomorrow. All right. So, so Roy Zimmerman will join us in a little later on in the hour. He was going to be here last week. You know, I've never met him before. I became a fan when I started looking for these fun song parodies on YouTube, mostly during the pandemic. But Roy Zimmerman's been doing this for a few decades. So he's got a library. He's got one that I tried to pull up today and listen to, but I couldn't get it working on Citizens United. So that was from 2010, Citizens United, decision by the Supreme Court. He's got one called Scrotus about SCOTUS. So anyway, I'm looking forward to talking to him. And we will. But first, let's get into what's going on today. So Joe Biden, talk about a turnaround in fortunes, right? Joe Biden, who, just a month or 6 weeks ago seemed like he could do nothing right, all of a sudden has had a string of victories, some that were certainly of his doing. He got the CHIPS Act signed. He got the PACT. That's the Vietnam Veterans, or not Vietnam Veterans, the Veterans Tar Pit, the Pitburn healthcare bill. Finally got that done with no help from Republicans, at least at the beginning. They finally came around. But they wanted to punish the veterans because the Democrats, snuck one by them. And that was this Inflation Reduction Act, which the name is a bit of a misnomer. It is a climate mitigation bill. It also adjusts the tax code to make sure that the wealthiest corporations who haven't been paying anything will now have to pay something. And it helps a little bit on healthcare as well. The negotiating Medicare allowed to negotiate drug prices. Yeah, kind of. Although it's not as good as it sounds. It starts off next year, so it doesn't even hit this year, but next year, the first tier, as it were, kicks in, and that is 10 drugs. Medicare will be able to negotiate with Big Pharma on 10, count them, 10 prescriptions. I guess that's better than none, right? So that's the 2023 that kicks in, those 10 drugs. But also, if you're on Medicaid or Medicare, I believe your out-of-pocket responsibility for prescription drugs is $2,000 per year. That's a big deal. And then 3 years later, so in 23, the negotiating 10 different drugs goes into effect. Then I believe it's 26 or 29, I'm not sure which one, another 20 drugs go into the pot that can be negotiated. Obviously, this is not good enough. It's a start, but it's only a start. But that's okay, because here's what happens. And listen carefully. Because if the Democrats in November can hold on to the House, and that's a tall order right now, but it's not impossible, and hold on to the Senate and pick up a few seats, and that's looking more and more probable with each passing day, as long as we all vote, then we can fix these things. Right now, we were stymied on this Inflation Reduction Act. And sorry, I've got to pause and think for a second. It doesn't come rolling off the tongue because, well, it's not an accurate name, but I'll give it to them. Never do they do they name a bill accurately. In fact, you know, I think it was a Republican, excuse me, it might have been Bush, who had the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act, and it was nothing of the sort. These are, you know, Orwellian kind of names. It's like No Child Left Behind. That left every damn child behind. So you can't really go by the names of the bills. They say they make up a name to be sexy or to grab attention. And the Inflation Reduction Act certainly sounds good. And you know what? Inflation's coming down. Have you been to the gas station lately? Gas prices are falling by a lot. It's been like 63 days in a row that gas prices have gone down, and they continue to fall. Now, funny, we're not hearing anything from the creatures over at Fox Not News, because all they do is bitch when the prices go up. Despite the fact that it has nothing to do with the president. The president, although I got to say, Joe Biden releasing so many millions of barrels from the strategic oil reserves obviously had an impact. And who knows, maybe even his trip over to Saudi Arabia to kiss MBS's ass paid off as well. Whatever it was, gas prices are falling. So, again, he'll get no love from the Republicans who only want to blame him for everything. But, you know, I think it's our duty to point these things out. So there you go. So good things are happening. This Inflation Reduction Act, frankly, what, 2 weeks ago, none of us thought there was going to be any movement on that. I mean, many of us were just sitting here sort of in our cups, depressed, basically ready to concede defeat because the Democrats seemingly couldn't get anything done. And then there have been a series of victories. So between the CHIPS bill and the Veterans Health Care, the PACS Act, and now the IRA, although, yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act, all that is good. Gas prices coming down. Good stuff is happening right as we are approaching the midterm elections. So today's primary day in Wyoming and Alaska. And in Alaska, there's also a special election today to fill Don Young's congressional seat through the end of the year. that, you know, that's the race that Santa Claus was running in. Remember when we had Santa Claus on the show? It would have been great if he won, but he didn't. He got knocked out in the primary. You know who is it, who was in the top? And Alaska has, I think it's a top two or top four go into the runoff. Sarah Palin, who's also running for the seat starting in January. And I hate to say it, she's got a good shot of getting in. You know, as long as we have Sarah Palin's and Marjorie Taylor Greene's and Lauren Boebert's, and I know I'm focusing on the women because I find them particularly offensive, because women should know better. I got to find this. I totally forgot about it. And I can't even remember where I saw it. But let me see if I can Google it. I heard a clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene that I didn't want to retweet because I thought Snopes would tell me that it wasn't true, and I would have thought that I but she did. I would have thought that I was jumping on a bandwagon that I shouldn't have been. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, here it is. Oh, I love it. Okay. I you know what? You're not going to see the video. I'll just play the audio. You don't need to see her face. You know what she looks like. Listen to this. I don't know where this was, but it was Saturday? It was over the weekend. Marge Q. Greene was out somewhere speaking to a room of people. And listen to what she said. She's talking about solar power. Oh, come on. Come on. Here we go. Maybe. Oh, I guess I have to unmute it.
And we're all here in Georgia. Can we just say thank God for air conditioning?
Okay.
Let's talk about refrigerators. I personally like my refrigerator. I know you all like yours.
Yeah.
What about washing machines and dryers? Lord, please God, don't make me scrub clothes in a bucket and have to hang them out on the line.
What?
When we switch over to wind turbines and solar panels.
What?
I'm going to be really pissed off about that. I mean, how absurd is this? I like the lights on.
I love
want to stay up later at night. I don't want to have to go to bed when the sun sets. It's so silly. I mean, all of this is absolutely insane.
You think?
Gentlemen?
Oh, my God. So here's Marge Q. Greene saying this is so silly. Yeah, it is, because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. She was saying, I don't want to have to go to sleep when the sun goes down. So apparently she thinks that if you run your electricity off of solar power, you only have electricity during daylight hours. And she said, you know, I like my air conditioning. I like my washing machine. I don't want to have to wash clothes in a bin by hand. What the hell is she talking about? This woman is in Congress? Georgia. Come on. Really? Here.
Come on, man.
What do you, I guess Georgia, the same state that is considering sending Herschel Walker to the Senate? Come on, man. And then they, you know, defend these cretins. Again, I have a trouble saying person, these people. I have a problem calling them people. Because they're just fucking morons. I mean, are you kidding me? All right. So I just had to play that. I really thought it was fake. I really didn't think that that was a real thing. Guess what? It is. She got up before a room full of people and said that. And at one point, you know, at one point the crowd was with her, right? But then when she said something about, I don't have to go to sleep when the sun sets, you could even hear the people in the room going, what? What the hell? Oh, Sorry, my phone is ringing again. I should turn it off when I go on the air. Okay, you're off. I don't know who Richard Lopez is. So anyway, yeah. So that, I used to say nothing surprises me anymore. Not true. That, although I knew Marge was kind of mentally challenged, I didn't realize she was that far off the reservation. I just really didn't. There's a few news stories that broke this afternoon that I can share with you. This is opposite world. Donald Trump, you know, the orange blimp that now is allegedly living in Mar-a-Lago, but not in the summer because it's too hot for him here. By the way, it's been cooler here in South Florida than it's been around much of the rest of the nation, including probably New Jersey, where he's been hanging out. But no one ever said these people were smart. Anyway, down here, there is a judge. He's a magistrate judge by the name of Bruce Reinhart. He's the guy who signed off on the search warrant for Mar-a-Lago because he is the magistrate in that district, right? And of course, he has been, I want to say outed, not that he was ever in, but the maggot people are circulating his name and his likeness, the pictures of his children, the synagogue he belongs to has come under attack, and they had to cancel services Friday night because of threats. These fucking maggots are threatening the synagogue that this judge belongs to. What kind of world are we living in? Well, anyway, now this judge, Bruce Reinhart, scheduled a hearing, another hearing, for this coming Thursday at 1 o'clock. At that hearing, they will determine whether or not to unseal the affidavit that explains the affidavit explains the probable cause. That's the phrase I couldn't come up with the other day, yesterday when I was talking to Swin from Rolling Stone. Probable cause is what you've got to show to a judge to get a warrant like that. And so all that information is contained in this affidavit, and it was sealed. So what they left for El Gordo at Mar-a-Lago was the warrant and then the inventory list of what they took. He did not get a copy of this affidavit. Now he's screaming, release the affidavit, release it all. Well, you know, he could have released the warrant and the inventory right away. He didn't. He's all about smoke and mirrors. He's as far from the truth as I am from the snow right now, because it's kind of hot in here. But yeah, so as much as I would like to see this affidavit, apparently this, you know, would impede the rest of their investigation. So I don't think they will. But this judge has a hearing this Thursday at 1 o'clock to determine whether to unseal it. Several news outlets have requested to make it public, while the Justice Department argued yesterday in a filing that doing so could compromise its criminal investigation. Now, in addition to the media pushing for the affidavit, Republicans are also doing that. See, these Republicans, they don't know any better, and they're just mimicking Donald Trump. But Donald Trump, who, you know, still can't go on Twitter or anywhere else for that matter, except his Truth Social, went on Truth Social today. And here's what he wrote. I call for the immediate release of the completely unredacted affidavit pertaining to this horrible and shocking break-in. It was not a break-in. It was a legal execution of a search warrant. Let's say it together. It was not a break-in. It was a legal law enforcement executing a search warrant. Just the way he mangles the language is horrible. So that's Thursday. My prediction is they're not going to release the affidavit. I would like to see it, but it's not about my curiosity or yours. It's about they need to be able to get through this investigation. We don't know what else is connected with it. Hopefully, Merrick Garland's investigation into Donald Trump goes a lot deeper than his, you know what, stealing nuclear secrets to sell to the Saudis and the Russians. Again, speculation on my part. We don't know any of that for sure. What we do know is that he had top secret classified information, including many documents that are only supposed to be seen in a SCIF, a secured secured intelligence facility, whatever SCIF stands for. It's that. And there isn't one at Mar-a-Lago. So we already talked about Rudy Giuliani had a bad day. Donald Trump's having a bad day. And, poor Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham's having a bad day. Lindsey Graham also wants to see this affidavit released. He said on the Fox Not News channel this morning that the DOJ should share the affidavit with senators. Oh, because senators. He said, show your cards, Merrick Garland. Can't have it both ways. He can't give us the inventory, the warrant, without telling us why it was necessary to raid the former president's home. Well, Miss Lindsey, that's just how it works. You're not privy to that information. But you are going to have to go down to Georgia and testify. Just like the judge told Rudy, get off your ass. Quit playing hypochondriac. You're out gallivanting around town. Don't try to make excuses that you are, you know, a medical condition is going to keep you from being there. You can't fly? Get in a car. Get on a train. Get your ass down to Georgia and under oath. And to Miss Lindsey, same thing. Yeah. Sometimes the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they do indeed turn. Then there's this. God, remember about all the missing text messages from the Secret Service people? And remember hearing about the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security who kept the information that all those texts were deleted from the January 6th committee and, well, from everybody else for a matter of months? Well, now Benny Thompson, who's the chair of the January 6th committee, and Carolyn Maloney, who chairs oversight, I believe, they got together and they're saying that the Department of Homeland Security and Inspector General has failed to comply with their inquiry into those missing text messages. And they're threatening to resort to alternative means to ensure compliance. That's likely a subpoena, I suppose. We do see the letter, but here we've got this Inspector General. You know what? Let me pull up the letter so I can tell you this guy's name. It'll be familiar to you because we've heard his name a lot because he's the one deflecting. Kafari, Joseph Kafari. Here's what they wrote to him. They said, Dear Inspector General Kafari, since May 2022, we have written to you on three separate occasions to request documents and information about your conduct as Inspector General. First, following serious allegations that your office censored findings of domestic abuse and sexual harassment by Department of Homeland Security employees. Whoa. Second, after you failed to properly notify Congress of crucial information on the Secret Service's erasure of text messages related to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. And third, after new information emerged on your repented failures to gather text messages from the Secret Service and other senior officials related to the January 6th attack. In response to the committee's requests, you have refused to produce responsive documents and blocked employees in your office from appearing for transcribed interviews. Your obstruction of the committee's investigations is unacceptable, and your justifications for this noncompliance appear to reflect a fundamental misunderstanding of Congress's authority and your duties as an inspector general. If you continue to refuse to comply with our requests, we will have no choice but to consider alternate measures to ensure your compliance. Woo! And then there's a lot of citations and stuff that follow in the letter, which runs many more pages. It runs, it runs 8 pages. I think that's the pertinent part, though. So this guy is rogue, Kalafari. And they, you know, he refused to recuse himself from this. He refused to step down. So they're going to have to push him out. Our government is in a pretty precarious place. And I think that most Americans are not aware of just how tenuous our hold on democracy is. But let me tell you something. There's good news and bad news combined. I read yesterday that the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, you know, they're the ones who dole out the dollars for the for advertising that they get from the party. Well, the Republicans who dole out the money to Senate candidates have cut back like major funds in the Senate races in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. That's huge because they know that those three races, they're going to have a lot of trouble with. That's where the hillbilly elegy guy is, right? And that's where Oz is, and that's where the crazy person in Arizona. So there's, you know, things aren't looking so rosy in a lot of these Senate races. So we just need to stay diligent, right? We need to make sure that, number one, that we vote, and number two, that we vote the right way. Okay. My guest is here and I'm so excited because, I got upset. I've been a music freak for many years. But I got obsessed with, comedy and music really during the pandemic when so many people, you know, showed their creative colors and started making song parodies. And so I embraced them all, from the guy in his kitchen with the recorder to the Marsh family over in Kent, England, who have become friends, to people who've been doing it for a very long time. And I'm ashamed to admit that I wasn't aware of them or him. And in this case, I'm talking about Roy Zimmerman. Oh, and we have applause. I don't know where the applause is coming from. Hold on 1 second, Roy. I think I know. Give me 1 second. I've got audio. Where is this audio coming from? What happens? Okay, it's gone now. Now we can talk. Hi, Roy Zimmerman.
How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I know we were going to talk a couple of weeks ago, and then you got the COVID.
I did. And I've been through that now. I'm out the other end.
Did you do okay? Was it just a mild
sure.
case? You
vaccinated? Vaccinated and boosted and the whole thing. It was no picnic, but I did okay.
Good. Well, I'm glad to see you're up and about and you're touring again. So, you've been at this for a long, long time, you know, and listening to your stuff, if I had to describe Roy Zimmerman and the music that you make, I would liken you to people like Tom Lehrer, Mark Russell, right?
Uh-huh.
Mark Russell for sure, who would sit at the piano and do it. You do it at a guitar, but you do smart, topical, newsworthy, funny commentary on society and life
well,
as we know it.
Company. Thank you. That's good. Obviously, Tom Lehrer is a huge influence, you know, and I would throw Phil Oakes in there.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly, and then Pete Seeger, too, because a lot of what I do is very earnest as well, you know, very heartfelt and earnest as well as the funny stuff.
Without a doubt. And I was, you know, I played your Highway 61 Revisited, the Four Seasons landscape, total landscaping bit at the beginning of the show as a way to promote your coming up. And I wondered if there might be some relation there, because Bob Dylan, we know, is actually Robert Zimmerman.
I always say as closely as you're related to him. That's
well, I have 2 degrees of separation. I know his son, Jacob. Hmm. So met him. Know him.
Excellent.
Yeah. So did you start, and when your career started, did you all automatically start writing music to deal with the times we were living in? Or did this happen as a byproduct?
Yeah, that's how songs came out of me most naturally, I think. In junior high, I was already writing about stuff that was happening to me and my friends. You know, that was my world at the time. And my world sort of expanded, thankfully, as I got a little older, and to national politics and what's happening in the world.
That's great. And so you've got a number of albums out. In fact, there's a new one That is what it's 25 songs from 25 years. Tell us about this.
25 songs from 25 years. It's Roy Zimmerman, This Machine, the best of Roy Zimmerman. And yeah, we've chosen, you know, these songs. I say we because I co-write these songs with my wife, Melanie Harvey. And we, you know, until COVID interrupted our plans, we were touring the country together constantly, called ourselves the Satire Delivery Service. And we wrote these songs. So during the pandemic, during the lockdown, we put together 25 of the songs that best answer this moment in time, you know, and put them on this compilation.
Now, do you have a favorite? I know it's tough because I've interviewed a lot of artists over the years, and I think asking them if they have a favorite song is sort of like asking somebody you have a favorite kid. But sometimes there is one.
I mean, there are certain songs I love to perform year after year. I mean, you know, that because I'd love to see how they play in front of various audiences. So absolutely, songs like Psychedelic Relic, songs like Defenders of Marriage, songs like Creation Science 101. These are songs that keep coming back and back and back.
And again, the thing is, you have been at it for so long. I was looking through, you've got a very filled up YouTube page. And so I was going through the old ones, seeing, you know, how some milestones that you sang about back in the day. And I saw there was one called Citizens United. Now, I couldn't get it to load. I don't know if it was probably on my end because I have gremlins in my studio. But Citizens United, a really important Supreme Court case that was decided January 21st, 2010. Or actually, that was the day the decision was handed down. And I only know that because that was also the day that Air America Radio went off the air. So, yeah. So it was a day that free speech was seriously curtailed. And so back then you were doing these songs. So there is an audience for this. Again, I like Tom Lehrer and Mark Russell and others who do that. And then there are the young ones who are coming up, like Randy Rainbow. He built a career on this. What do you think of some of these guys?
Well, I mean, the more the merrier, first of all. I mean, join the satire brigade, you know, because as John Lennon said, you know, the thing that they can't battle, they can't stand is when you laugh at them.
And that,
that's so true. They you know, they know how to handle somebody who insults them or you know, comes at them with politics or whatever. But if you laugh at them and people laugh along with you, there's just no fighting that.
Without a doubt. And it's very disarming, too, right? If they expect you to react with anger and you react with laughter, it really throws them off, doesn't it?
That's right. Takes their knees out from under them. That's right.
It definitely does. All right. I want to play one of your songs. I've got a few of them queued up here. You know, the easy way would be to play your most recent one. But I did just a few weeks ago when it came out. That was the 3-hour tour. Perfect. And I warned everyone. I mean, your songs are meant to be listened to. That one, you really needed to see the video to go along with it, I thought, because it added a whole other element. As is the case with your, you do sing-alongs where you invite other people to join in with you. And I'm going to play one that was... came out, I want to say, near Election Day in 2020. And it was, hold on, I'm trying to bring up the right screen here. It was Election Day 2020. You had recorded a version of this song before, but you did like 3 or 4 versions of Vote Him Away, didn't you?
Yes. Well, yes, that became a little cottage industry for us. Vote Him Away, The Liar Tweets Tonight. Overall, they got about 140 million views on social media. I know it sounds like a lot until you realize that, you know, Fat Boy Falls Off Truck has 230 million views.
Well, there is that. But anyway, there is that. But it's still a lot. It is definitely still a lot. So let's listen and watch. This was the last version of, sorry, I'm just trying to make it so that everybody can see the lyrics too. All right. From, the archives, Roy Zimmerman on, the Nicole Sandler Show.
him away. Mighty White House, the liar tweets tonight. In the West Wing, the self-obsessed wing, the liar tweets tonight. Says, hush, you doctors, hush, reporters, hush, you science nerds. Look, my ratings are through the roof when I just say happy words. Get a test. It's just the flu. It's a hoax like all the rest. A left-wing coup. We've got lots of PPE. The cupboard's bare. It's Obama's fault, you see. The buck stops there. In the country, the quiet country, no nurses sleep tonight. But in the White House, the full of shite house, the liar tweets tonight.
Awesome. Roy Zimmerman. Find him at royzimmerman.com. That is just so good. So good. I can only imagine that you have a lot of fun putting those together, although it's got to be a lot of work, too.
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah. And that is the point, is to have fun and making sense. Have fun, make fun, but also make sense. Try to make sense out of what's happening.
Absolutely. Now, I recognize somebody in there who was one of these, a couple that I found. In fact, I played one of their songs just the other day. Right. Sandy Riccardi.
Sandy Riccardi is in there singing that high descant part. Yeah, she's a buddy for years now. Yeah, they're hilarious.
Okay. They are hilarious. They are a Sandy and Richard Riccardi, and they just put up a new parody the other day that I played, and I don't know them. I don't know anything about them, but I sort of guessed that they're like a couple who lives in New York and does Broadway.
Well, they've done a lot of musical theater. Yeah,
I could tell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even here in California.
Oh, they're in California.
But they're still doing musical theater and doing the parodies, thankfully.
That's great. Now you do a thing regularly. Like, you've got a newsletter, which is also entertaining, that people can sign up for at royzimmerman.com.
And should.
And you put out calls when you're going to do another group sing thing like that, so that other people can get in on it. That's how you get all those people to sing along with you?
Virtual sing-alongs. Absolutely. Yes, exactly. So we have video clips that are submitted from all over the world, actually, for people that come in on these projects. We have more and more. So if you go to royzimmerman.com, sign up on the mailing list, you will be one of the people who knows about these things that we're putting together.
That'd be great. I already did, but I want to get the listeners, and I'm watching their comments in the chat room. And you've got a lot of people here who have been following you for a long time. In fact, when I started playing these, I found a guy in South Africa who goes by the name of The Kiffness. And his thing is, he samples sounds. He samples, you know, the guy selling fish at the market, and he's in South Africa, and then he takes that sample back to his house and he makes a loop and he mixes in and makes it a song. But he did a whole bunch of COVID, you know, COVID related things during the lockdown. So creative people, I met Shirley Sherbon, who is in, I think she's in Scotland, I think. You know, people all over the world doing these things. Do you know of the Marsh family? Have you heard them?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You must. The Marsh family is a father and wife, father, mother, and four children, two boys, two girls. And we've watched these kids grow up, and they're all talented, musically talented. And right. the songs are just great. Oh, I'm going to send you a link. You need to check them out. I've had them on the program a couple of times. They're just lovely, and they're funny and really great.
Great.
Oh, New Zealand. That's right. Shirley Sherbon's in New Zealand. So, yeah, this is, you know, the pandemic in some ways made the world a lot smaller because we can connect like this now.
So, right. The entire world is in my kitchen. Yeah.
That's right. Now, is that your kitchen with all the instruments behind you?
Well, yes, essentially. It's one side of my kitchen, yes.
Gotcha. Now, so you, like the rest of us, were stuck at home during the pandemic, and you weren't touring, but now you're back up and touring again. I noticed that you've got a few dates right now, like in Oregon and in Northern California. Do you mostly stay there, or do you ever come out east?
Well, we're gearing up for touring again. I mean, obviously, it's been an interruption in our typical touring schedule, right? You know, and so I did a lot of shows online for the little camera lens here, you know, which is, you know, the cool part about that is I don't have to wear pants. but I'm happy to put pants on to go out and play for people's faces, you know, because that's, you know, that's rewarding, too, to really see people react.
Well, definitely. And I'm sure, look, you know, I come from music radio. Before I started doing talk radio, I did music radio for years. And there's nothing like, you know, a live performance. There's, you know, and I completely missed live music. And I didn't get out much, you know, these days anyway, before COVID hit. And now you realize, I think we all realize how much we need it. We need the human interaction and we need the live experience. So,
especially when the music is about social justice, especially then, because what we're doing is getting together in a room with like-minded people and talking about the issues and what we can really do about them.
Yes. Now, you've got a bunch of albums out, and people can go to royzimmerman.com to go through them, to buy them. You've got a whole video collection up on YouTube. What else is that enough to sustain you? Does that support you?
Yeah, yes, it does. As long as people keep visiting there, you know, and as long as we keep putting songs out and all. As I say, this album here, this machine, The Best of Roy Zimmerman, you know, has culled 25 of those songs from all of that time, from the 25 years I've been touring and doing these songs. But there, you know, there are 9 other albums with other cuts on there and a lot of interesting, funny, hilarious songs, to discover. That's of course all at royzimmerman.com too.
All of it. I got to say, you've given us so much joy. When I saw, it was last week or the week before, that you had a new video out, oh my God, I was like so excited to come on the air and play it. But then I've been going back through some of your older stuff before Donald Trump went into politics. Oh my God. And then, so I see one, you have one here, Christmas in Crawford, 2004. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2004... I wasn't yet on Air America Radio, but we remember those days. And, you know, Cindy, God, what was her name? The activist who went down to Crawford. I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. She was a Gold Star mother. Cindy, I want to say Crawford, and it's not. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it. But the ranch that wasn't really a ranch. So I have that one queued up, Christmas in Crawford, 2004. And
right.
I have...
This is just after the tsunami had hit in Indonesia.
Oh, right.
I remember that. And this was about the Bush family and their reaction to that and actually then the wider reaction of the Western world to that.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a choice. I have that one and I have a more I don't know, not generic, but more general, perhaps, song for all of us, and it's called To Be a Liberal. So which one should I play, To Be a Liberal or Christmas in Crawford?
Well, Christmas in Crawford is a beautiful song, and I'm forever proud of that song. It is specific to that time, though. So why don't you play To Be a Liberal, and we can all kind of glory in self-parody.
I love it. Okay, we'll do. So this is Roy Zimmerman, the song. It goes back to the album Thanks for the Support, because you have it on the video. I know these things. It's Roy Zimmerman, To Be a Liberal.
On my way in here tonight, I bruised my nose hugging a tree. I was late because I had to...
Oh no, this is what happens when my gremlins take over. Hold on, we're going to start that over again. And I'm not going to touch anything. Now...
On my way in here tonight, I bruised my nose, hugging a tree. I was late because I had to stop by on my way at San Quentin to set a criminal free. Ran out of seven grain, bee pollen, macrobiotic, organic, sustainable medical marijuana for my jerky knee. Do you know how hard it is to be a liberal? Well, do ya? I had to learn to speak French, Spanish, Hindi, and Dolphin just so I could relate. I'm exhausted from taxing and spending and controlling the media and ruling San Francisco as a separatist nation state. And in yoga today I got bent out of shape because the guy doing bowl pulling pose next to me was intolerant, which I hate. Do you know how hard it is to be a liberal? Well, do ya? Constantly feeding the hungry and bleeding my heart and exceeding my budget and needing approval and reading the nation and leading. Sing along, everybody! No, wait, that was just an impulse, sorry. Oh, I was shooting hoops with some brothers when I sprained my badonkadon. And you know that ain't chill. Saved an endangered snail darter from being eaten by an endangered spotted owl, which I saved from being eaten by an endangered snow leopard, which I saved from being shot by a poacher who I had to kill. With kindness. Took a while. I hit a speed bump and spilled my chai latte all over the hemp-covered seats of my Prius. And the speed bump turned out to be a homeless Native American, so I apologized and gave him some land. I stomped out a cigarette and took away his gun and shot myself in the nuts on my way to my frivolous lawsuit for sexual harassment, where I was suing myself because I masturbated. Against my will. Do you know how hard it is to be
to be a circle jerk conservative.
Wow, that's just awesome. Roy Zimmerman, to be a liberal. Oh, so good, Roy. It's just wonderful. I want to see you do a live show. So that's on the CD. Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
And I'm in South Florida now, but we're getting ready to move further out west. We're thinking like Arizona. So maybe it'll be easier to see you one of these days.
Well, yes. And maybe I'll make it to South Florida, too, because Florida was always, believe it or not, very strong for me as a touring performer. And so one of those places, I'll see you one place or the other.
Most definitely. And so the new album is a best of. Again, it's 25 songs from 25 years called This Machine, The Best of Roy Zimmerman. You say more than a greatest hits compilation. And tell me about your wife's involvement. So Melanie is your wife and she works with you and sings with you and does all this?
We've been married for 35 years.
Wow.
And we've been living together for that long as well. You know, we write a lot of kids songs as well and some country songs, but a lot of these political satire songs too. And it's just kind of the natural way that we both come to this stuff. You know, it can be frustrating watching the news go by, and you know, it can be you can get kind of develop a sort of a news aversion unless you have a way to deal with it. And the way we deal with it is to write songs, and they often come out hilariously funny. Sometimes they come out heartfelt and strident.
And sometimes that's what you need. But music has a way to elicit all of those feelings, all of those things from us. So, and you do such a great job.
It's got a great way of sneaking around people's defenses too. So it's a good way of talking to people you may not agree with, and maybe getting them on your side a bit too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I always look forward to, I have you, you know, I'm subscribed obviously to your YouTube channel. And so when I see a little dot next to your name, that means there's something new there. And I hadn't seen anything in a while. And then I figure we'll go out with a 3-hour tour because we can. And it was so good. This is the latest from Roy Zimmerman. Again, visit royzimmerman.com, sign up for the newsletter, get the new album, and then just spend time perusing that YouTube page, because there's so much good stuff there.
Thank you so much. We'll go out with a 3-hour tour and we may never come back.
Well, that's what happens sometimes, doesn't it? Roy Zimmerman, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to hearing more of your work. All right, thank you. All right, take care. All right, here's Roy's 3-hour tour. Take it away, Roy.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a nearly successful coup that started at the end of Constitution Avenue.
To the Capitol.
A congressman named Loudermilk, a MAGA guy obscure, led 12 of his constituents on a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. One of the guys who was on that tour, who'd learned his way around, came back with the mob the very next day and stormed the Capitol grounds.
We're coming in like white on rice.
It wasn't just a protest that got somehow out of hand, but a violent insurrection meticulously planned.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow.
The president, who would be king, conspired to make damn sure the rioters would lay siege that day on a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. The ship of state was nearly wrecked by the lawlessness and guile of Loudermilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and the wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Mutineers Isle.
Oh, it's just so good. Roy Zimmerman, once again, thank you. It takes a special mind to be able to do stuff like this, and a real talent, because you've got the musical talent too. So I can't thank you enough. There you go. Sorry, I had you down. And now I'm still not hearing you. All right. Oh, there you are.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
All right. You take care. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to meeting you in person one of these days. Thanks, Roy. Take care. Bye-bye. There you go. Roy Zimmerman. What a treat. Yeah, I'm a little off today, but he's spot on. Just so good. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to do a complete 180. Tomorrow, we're going to get down and dirty with this religious perversion that is taking over the country. Not only it is mostly the Republican Party, but it's something funky is going on. And just a quick aside, if you've noticed today, the audio levels going up and down and up and down, that's on my end. I'm watching the input go pinned all the way to the up, and then now it's falling down. So I've got my work cut out for me tonight and tomorrow morning to fix the audio again. I have no idea what this is about. All right, but at least we're at the end of the show, so I can leave you with what's news, and I'll deal with it's not the microphone. It's my sliding input levels. I don't know. I just work here. I don't know. All right. Thank you for bearing with the sound problems and worldwide distortion. Oh, my God. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, with audio fixed. If it's not one thing, it's another. All right. See you tomorrow, everyone. Bye. I do have the news here, don't I? Here it is.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Talk about confusing. The former guy, Donald Trump, on Monday said, "The temperature has got to be brought down." He was talking about the heat emanating from last week's FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago residence and club in Palm Beach, Florida, and his own rhetoric that raised the temperature immensely. Well, the FBI has been facing incoming threats since agents recovered boxes of classified and top secret documents that Trump appeared to have taken with him when he left office. An armed Trump supporter who was apparently in Washington, D.C., when a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, allegedly tried to breach the FBI's Cincinnati field office last week. After a standoff, he was shot and killed by police. Despite Trump's call for calm, he also repeated his attacks on the FBI over the search, saying that Americans aren't going to stand for another scam. Yeah, that's what we've been hoping for. Anyway, today's Tuesday, so primary season continues as voters in Wyoming and Alaska head to the polls. In Wyoming, Republican Representative Liz Cheney, vice chair of the House Select Committee investigating January 6th, and the Republican Party's most outspoken critic of the former guy, is trying to hold on to her seat. But the latest polling is not encouraging. Cheney is one of 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach the former guy last year, and she also lost her party leadership position after repeatedly criticizing the orange one. Today, she's running against a primary challenger backed by Trump in a state where he won 70% of the vote in the 2020 election. Experts say this race underscores how Trump's hold on the Republican Party is tightening, even as the former guy's legal challenges keep mounting. Separately, voters in Alaska are casting ballots today in two separate elections for the same seat. One for the remainder of Don Young's term after he died, and the second one is to fill it for next term. And yes, Sarah Palin is on the ballot. Oh boy. Here's some good news. The average price of gas could drop below $3 a gallon in much of the U.S. by the end of the year. Gas prices have been falling for 62 consecutive days and will likely to continue the steady decline for a while now. The national average for a gallon of gas was $3.96 on Monday. That's down $1.06 or 21% since hitting a record high on June 14th. And even in states with high gas prices like California, the average price is still down more than $1 a gallon since the June peak. Somehow, I don't see people tearing down those Biden stickers or putting up more "Joe Biden did this" regarding the price drops. Just saying. The Taliban on Monday celebrated the one-year anniversary of their return to power in Afghanistan. Taliban fighters brandished rifles and banners in victory parades throughout the streets of Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, which the Islamist group seized as the United States and other Western nations rushed to pull out their last forces, diplomats, and other stragglers. The chaos surrounding the Taliban's unexpectedly quick ousting of the Western-backed government that preceded them dragged down the country's economy. Human rights groups say this new Taliban government, led largely by hardliners, had reneged on initial promises to let women and girls continue to have access to education and jobs. What a shame. So President Joe Biden is cutting his vacation a bit short to return to D.C. today to sign that sweeping $750 billion Inflation Reduction Act, which actually encompasses health care, taxes, and climate change. This marks a major victory for Biden's administration and the Democratic Party ahead of the midterm elections. The Inflation Reduction Act accomplishes several key Biden legislative agenda items and represents the largest climate investment in American history. And it looks like Biden is heading back to D.C. alone as the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, today tested positive for COVID-19. So it goes. So as the arguments over the FBI's execution of a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago last week heats up, the Justice Department stated in a filing on Monday that it opposes the idea of releasing the affidavit, the key details that led to the search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate last week. The DOJ said some continued secrecy is needed to protect the investigation, and therefore it will not unseal the affidavit, which outlines why the search was necessary. Several media organizations had asked for the affidavit to be unsealed after the search was concluded. Meanwhile, a federal judge on Monday rejected Senator Lindsey Graham's request to quash a subpoena for his testimony in a Georgia investigation into potential criminal interference in the 2020 presidential election. Graham said he should be granted immunity from testifying due to protections afforded him as a high-ranking elected official. What? But U.S. District Judge Lee Martin May said Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, quote, has shown extraordinary circumstances and a special need for Senator Graham's testimony. Rudy Giuliani, who has also served as Trump's personal lawyer, was notified further that he is a target of the criminal investigation by that Atlanta grand jury called by Willis. Giuliani is expected to testify in the next day or two. And in case you hadn't already heard, we have a teacher shortage. It's a national teacher shortage here in the U.S. Maybe if we paid our teachers a living wage, that wouldn't be the case, but I digress. Teachers say that they need higher salaries across the board. They need more mental health support for their students. They need more support staff. They need multi-year job security, less paperwork, less standardized testing, all things that should be easily attainable. Well, the guy who considers himself dear leader of Florida, the current governor who's running for re-election, Ron DeSantis, came up with his own plan to fill some 8,000 to 9,500 teacher vacancies in the state. And it doesn't incentivize people to become teachers, but it does drop the barrier to entry for a select group that has no obvious predisposition to educating children. The new policy that allows military veterans to teach in Florida classrooms, even if they have not completed so much as a bachelor's degree. Veterans will receive a 5-year temporary certification if they served 4 years in the military and obtained an honorable or medical discharge, and they must have completed 60 college credits. That's about half of a typical 4-year degree. And they must have posted a 2.5 GPA or better. Really? 2.5? Teaching your kid? By the way, Florida is the third largest state by population. Its economy ranks fourth in the nation by gross domestic product. Yet, as of 2020, Florida ranks 45th in state education funding and 49th in average teacher pay. But that's right, Gov. Just put some unqualified veterans in the room. Hey, they can teach the kids to shoot. Please. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. Cindy Sheehan, thank you, Auto6 on Twitter. Cindy Sheehan, how could I have forgotten? All right. See you guys tomorrow. Bye.